Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's switch gears right now and talk some college basketball with John Fanta. He is a college basketball broadcaster with NBC Sports. Kansas State played yesterday. We also have Missouri and Kansas coming up later today. They also play each other this weekend. So certainly a lot of college basketball news to get to. John, happy to have you join us today.
It's great to be with you guys. Carrington, thank you so much for having me. And I'll tell you what, no, you're right. No shortage of storylines here as we hit December and a huge one at Allen Fieldhouse tonight. I cannot wait to watch.
So let's just start with this. I was anticipating Darren Peterson playing today. My producer, you just talked to him. He's a KU alum, season ticket holder. He was also anticipating Darren Peterson playing. What do you make of this entire situation?
Well, what I make of it is a guy that could be in the mix to be the number one pick in the draft that I think is, there's parts of his game that remind me of Kobe Bryant. I mean, that's how highly I think of Darren. I think Darren makes Kansas a Final Four contender. But what I make of it is it's December 2nd. He does have a lingering hamstring injury. They don't want to risk anything that then would cause Darren to miss more time and more important games. I mean, this is an important game, but let's face it, if Kansas were to not win tonight, it's not doomsday or anything. UConn could win the national championship. I think they're a top three team in the country. So, it's obviously unfortunate for the game, but I know a lot of people have different feelings. Here's the deal, folks. He could be picked number one in the draft. You know, I think he's going to go top three. Any little nick, any little bruise right now, it's not March Madness. Right now, they're going to be precautionary and not force it on the kid. And that's what I think is happening.
John, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but what you're describing sounds a whole lot like load management to me.
Well, I think it is a kid and his circle looking out for his best interest. And that is, they're not going to risk anything that would keep him out for an extended period of time. I'm not really thinking of load management. I'm just thinking that he probably has a minor injury that if his life depended on, I'm not a doctor, but it doesn't sound like this is something that is, you know, severe or multi-month thing. He could be back any game. I expect we're going to see him sooner than later. But when you're talking about the money that is in the balance for this kid in this June's draft and what he can accomplish, Kansas fans might not want to hear it, but this kid and his people, and frankly, you know, I'm sure Bill Self's a good man. Bill Self looks out for his players. He's coached countless NBA guys. Darren Peterson's an NBA guy, and Darren Peterson's thinking about what he's going to do in his circle, or thinking about what he's going to do at the next level. They're entitled to that. So it might be frustrating, but that's the priority and when it comes to health. And they're not going to risk it for a December 2nd game against Connecticut if it means that he can come back healthier and be stronger and make sure that there's no doubt in their minds that he's going to play.
Right now, we're talking to John Fanta. He is a college sports broadcaster, college basketball for NBC Sports. This seems crazy to ask, and I don't think I've ever asked this question about a KU home game. But what chance do you give them today? Because you mentioned UConn, one of the five best teams in college basketball. KU doesn't have their best player, but had a very, very impressive showing in Las Vegas in the Players Eras tournament. It's also Allen Fieldhouse, so the smart money is to always be on the side of KU. What chance do you give them today?
I give them a good chance. I think that this is a 50-50 game, and it's at Allen Fieldhouse. So anybody who would ever say Kansas has worse than a good chance of winning is ridiculous. Kansas has a good chance to win this game. This is a toss-up game. UConn has a solid chance to win this game if Terrace Reed plays. If Terrace Reed, UConn's big man, does not play tonight. He's a game time decision here. He's been dealing with an ankle injury, and it's sort of been up in the air for him. He's come and gone here for UConn. He played in their last game, but he's been dealing with his ankle. If Terrace Reed doesn't play, then Flory Badunga is the best big man in this game, and Kansas is going to cause problems for UConn defensively because UConn is going to. They're just not the same team defensively and in the physicality column if Terrace Reed's not on the floor. It's a freshman, Eric Riba, who you'd be relying upon at Allen Fieldhouse to play that five-man role. And, guys, that's a lot to ask for. So Terrace Reed needs to play for Connecticut tonight. If he doesn't play, I give Kansas a strong chance to win at home. You know, if Kansas were the road team tonight, and UConn were hosting at Gamble Pavilion or Hartford, UConn, to me, is a better team than Kansas. They have more weapons. But Allen Fieldhouse, Bill Self, and Melvin Council and Trey White, the way they're going, and Badunga, give Kansas at home a good chance against Connecticut. Neutral floor with Reed playing, UConn by 8 to 12 points. No Reed, road game for Connecticut. Kansas is coming off a terrific week in Vegas. Like, I want to give Kansas an immense amount of credit. They took two early losses. They did not allow that and Peterson. Kansas could be 4-4. They could be 5-3. They really could have taken a loss last week. For them to beat Tennessee was extremely impressive. And that could catapult Kansas' momentum. They can absolutely win tonight. If Terrace Reed doesn't play for UConn, I think Kansas will win tonight. If Reed does play for Connecticut, I think it's going to go down in the last minute. I really think it's going to be a great college basketball game. Point guard play for Kansas is paramount tonight because UConn's got terrific point guards.
Right now, we're talking to John Fanta, talking a little bit of college basketball. He covers the sport for NBC Sports. John, I want to get your opinion on Kansas State. We'll get to Missouri here coming up in a bit. They play on the road against Notre Dame today. I think we are now buying time when it comes to Jerome Tang. I like Jerome Tang a lot on a personal level, but you can't miss the tournament in back-to-back years. They started off 5-0. There's obviously a lot of optimism in Manhattan. They've now lost 3 in a row, and they got beat at home by 16 to Bowling Green. And as we are now turning the calendar to December, conference play is right around the corner, and you look at this Big 12, and it is loaded. I'm talking about Houston, Kansas, Texas Tech. I mean, this looks like another year in which K-State finishes 9th or 10th in the league, which probably isn't going to be enough to make the tournament. It just feels like in some ways we are buying time with Jerome Tang.
Jerome has pressure on him, and he should, because last year didn't go well. And when you have the bankroll that Kansas State has money, and they've got people with deep pockets. And in basketball, they've given some players amounts of money that other programs have not been able to match. So, you know, when I look at Kansas State, I mean, to get pushed around on your home court by a Mid-American Conference team, that cannot happen. It cannot happen under any circumstances. And Jerome, you know, I'll give him credit for this. I mean, he took full accountability last night, so that was embarrassing. Well, they better respond on Saturday, because you're right. If you lose to Seton Hall at home on Saturday, the pressure just, it triples, because now you've had a nightmare week. You've taken four consecutive losses, and you just took a loss to Bowling Green, and then you would be taking a loss to a team that was picked to finish dead last in the Big East, a team that is improved, But if you can't get off the mat on Saturday, then what happens is your locker room starts to come into question, and then this thing could blow up. And if it blows up again, like, look, last year for Kansas State, you know, they walked into the year. I thought that this was going to be a team that, you know, we were going to be talking a lot about, and they finished below 500. I mean, that's you can't do that again. You are now in a world in college football and college basketball where if you're finishing below 500 or at 500, or you're missing multiple tournaments in a row, there's too much money being spent on these teams for you to feel good about your position. You might get one more, but if you get one more year, consider it a gift. That it's nothing against Jerome. It's just the reality of the situation. In terms of Jerome Tang, I think with Kansas State, the frustration is like the lack of defense is glaring. 86 given up to Nebraska, 86 given up to Indiana, 82 given up to Bowling Green. Even against Tulsa, they gave up 83. Even against Cal, they gave up 96 points. Their defense has been shredded. They don't play any defense. And, you know, they rely on P.J. Haggerty, who's a very talented player, but on the other end of the floor, they're not connected. They're just not a connected team right now. And that's what you run the risk of in this NIL era. You know, you can't just buy a team. You can't buy a championship. You can't. There's coaches with less money that are doing better jobs because they're really good at what they do. And Jerome, you know, Jerome had a tournament run. He had a magical run. You know, the Marquise Noel situation was fun, but it's the what have you done for me lately world. His team has not played organized. They have not played defense. And I think he's better than this, but it's getting late early. And he's got to start to turn this thing around. I like Jerome as a person. I really do. He's a friend of mine. But facts are facts. There's pressure on you to perform at Kansas State when you're the basketball coach. And he's got to get this thing flipped and flipped now because you're right. If you're not winning games and if you're finishing 500 or below 500, it doesn't matter how nice of a person you are. You're judged on results.
John, I'll get you out of here with this last question. Missouri goes on the road today to play a coin flip game against Notre Dame. The spread basically doesn't mean anything. Notre Dame's a 1.5-point favorite in this game. Who do you like in that game?
I like Missouri. I mean, I like the way that this team is playing. And I think when you look at how they've played thus far, I mean, their ability to play through Mark Mitchell. Mark Mitchell's having a year where he could be a sleeper to be an All-American. I mean, there's not a lot of players that are averaging 17, 6, 4 assists per game, 65% from the floor. He's been tremendous for them. And you know, I thought we would see this from Coach Gates this season. To what degree, I don't know if I would have had them starting the season at 8-0. But, you know, to me, you look at what he's done. And he has done a really good job of getting a roster with a nice blend of playmaking guards, whether it be Jacob Cruz, who's in his fifth year of college basketball, his second year with the program. Retention is everything in college hoops. He was able to retain him. You get Sebastian Mack from UCLA, who's been tough. And, you know, guys, Notre Dame, the thing about Notre Dame is they're going to have a bit of a matchup problem trying to match up with Mark Mitchell. Like, Mark Mitchell, to me, is the most dynamic player on the floor in that game. Yes, Notre Dame is home, and they've got guard play, and they got tested last week in Vegas, so they come back battle-tested. But if Missouri can slow down Marcus Burton or take away everything around him defensively, you know, Burton averages over 20 a game for Notre Dame. So either you're going to let him get his and say, we're going to cut off everybody else, or if you really defend Marcus Burton, you cut off the head and the snake, and you get after Notre Dame. So how Missouri defends Burton could decide the game, but Mark Mitchell could be the best player on the floor in this game. And I like Missouri to take down the Irish and make it 9-0, and really a team that could very well be in the rankings.
That is John Fancett joining us on the show today. He covers college basketball for NBC Sports. John, we'll catch up with you down the line as we get closer and closer to conference play with all three of the local teams. Really appreciate your time today.
Appreciate you guys. Such a fun night ahead in the sport. It's what makes it great. Everybody enjoy it.
Absolutely. That is John Fanta joining us on the show today. Rob, I think the question with Darren Peterson comes down to this. It comes down to, do you believe that Darren Peterson is hurt or injured? Because I see on the text line a lot of comparisons to Michael Porter Jr. I think we now, and it's not even an opinion anymore, Michael Porter Jr. was injured. Michael Porter Jr. had back surgery in November and then had back surgery again while entering the NBA. We know that Michael Porter has a bad back. If that's what we were talking about with Darren Peterson, that he was shutting it down because he was having surgery, then we're having a very different conversation. I think what opens it up, like in the conversation with John just there, is, well, I think if it was March, he could play, but he's choosing not to play. He is practicing. And I think when people hear that, it's a, well, if you're not injured and you're just hurt, and now you are choosing to sit out because you are looking to preserve your draft status, man, that's not what we're paying you for. Darren Peterson is probably one of the five highest paid players in college basketball. We don't have the numbers, but I just find it hard to believe that you're telling me a kid that keeps getting compared to Kobe Bryant, that you know is not going to be in school for more than one season, that just whatever school he ended up going to, Kansas, Duke, Kentucky, that they were not dropping off the bag. I'm going to guess, and this is just speculation on my part based on what we heard other players are making. I think Darren Peterson is making somewhere between $3 and $5 million if you're to play basketball at KU. If we think that the Toppin kid from Texas Tech is making four, I think Darren Peterson's somewhere in that range this year. So I understand if you're a KU fan and you've done what they've asked you to do, hey, donate to this thing, help with the NIL collective. Let's make sure that we get back on track. And now you have the biggest lottery ticket in the sport. You've got a once in a generational, maybe the best freshman to ever step foot at the University of Kansas. And the kid's not playing, and you don't think it's an injury. You just think he's a little bit banged up right now and don't want to go. I see how that can be frustrating.
So I think maybe we're saying the same thing, just semantically different. I understand your point about hurt versus injured. But I also think, and whether it's NIL's fault or the portal's fault or just it could be Bill Self's fault with the verbiage around Darren Peterson, I think people are looking to jump to something more nefarious and malicious at play. If it wasn't Darren Peterson, let's change the player. If it was Cole Rosario and the messaging was, hey, he could probably go, he's not quite 100%, but we're being, you know, cautious and we are taking steps to protect him in March because December basketball, while I love it and you love it and it'll be a good atmosphere tonight and we got good games on deck, doesn't matter. I think that's the right way to play it. I think because of NIL and because of his NBA dreams and aspirations and the fact that he is going to be picked, people jump to something that it potentially is not. Because if it is truly just a soft tissue injury, which is what we now have heard it is, it's a hamstring, and they are saying we are going to take it very cautious in December with the intent of ramping you up and having you at 100% in January, February, March, that is not a bad system to have, especially in a world where these games in December, you don't get penalized for losing them. It's the same way like we got mad at Steve Sarkisian yesterday for acting like the loss to Ohio State in football hurt them. It doesn't. If KU loses tonight, it does no harm to their season. But Darren playing and potentially becoming more hurt with the injury is more problematic. So I also think the Porter, I understand why people make the Porter to Peterson comparison. I really do. But Porter was a situation where he needed surgery. Darren Peterson is soft tissue.
He needed surgery and instantly got surgery. Like, I think that's a part of it.
It was like that night, basically.
Michael Porter Jr. has surgery after Missouri's first basketball game. He had surgery. And
it was like
also important
Sunday
to note,
yeah,
Michael Porter probably shouldn't have came back and played at the end of the season, but then tried to come back when it was very obvious when you saw him come back, he was not at 100%. I'm not here to question Darren Peterson's toughness at all. But I do think the way that this has been sort of positioned by Kansas, he's practicing, he's running up and down the court. Hey, tomorrow we feel good about it. We're going to wait to see what the doctor says. And I think it just builds anticipation. Like, if you keep telling your kid tomorrow, I'm going to take you to the park, they're getting excited for it. Oh, well, and then in the morning, like, oh, eventually your kid's going to get mad at you. And that's what I think is happening right now with Darren Peterson. They have been playing this game for 3 weeks that he was going to play. And I don't think it was realistic to start to really think that that was going to be true until today. He sat out for a month now. This isn't like a, oh, one game. This is a, you missed the Madison Square Garden trip. You missed the three games in Vegas. And now when Missouri has, I mean, these are their two most important non-con games. They got a home game against UConn, and then they play their rival on Sunday. You want your guns to be there. You want your best player to be there. And the fact that he's not there, again, like, I understand the frustration from KU fans in not having Darren Peterson. Let me ask you this follow-up question unrelated to Darren Peterson. Do you look at UConn as an equal? I only ask that because we have this blue blood conversation in basketball. And I would say that UConn checks every single box that you would want them to check. Now, maybe they don't have the history in 1970 the way the KU does. They don't have the Wilt Chamberlain played here story. But if you're a kid, let's say you were born in 1991, Kansas and UConn have not really been that different. Iconic coaches, national championships, Final Fours, pros. They have had very, very similar paths. But I get the sense from KU fans, from listening to you, from being around you, you don't look at UConn in the same way that you look at Duke or the same way you look at North Carolina.
I 100% don't have them in my blue blood club. 100%. Now, I am open, before I give you some stats as to why, I am open to the fact that what is I'm about to say is old money hating new money. It's very possible I'm a person who has grown up in Mission Hills and the new tech guy moved in down the street. And even though me and him have the same money, we're not the same. This could be a lot of old money looking down at new money. But Carrington, they've had really bad years at UConn. Kansas doesn't have really bad years. Kansas' bad year last year was a 7 seed. 7-8 years ago, you know what Kevin Ollie did? He missed the tournament. You know what he also did? Went winless in conference. Okay, so all right, vacated season, whatever.
I don't know if that's fair just because Duke has missed the tournament during that time frame. We're not pulling Duke's card when it comes to a blue blood. North Carolina has missed the tournament during this time.
Duke did not miss.
Kentucky's missed the tournament.
It was also worth noting,
Duke missed the tournament. Duke missed it in 2001 or 2021.
It was 2020 and the postseason got canceled.
They're about to miss the tournament.
Yeah.
They had a losing record.
Also, when I say miss the postseason, Dan Hurley's first year at UConn, they didn't make the NCAA tournament or the NIT. They finished sub 500. You tell me the year the North Carolina and Kentucky were sub 500. You go six.
Duke missed it. You're right. Duke,
yeah, it got canceled.
Duke missed it the next year. Duke missed it in 2020. They were
going to miss it.
Yeah. No, Duke missed the tournament that one time. They were absolutely going to miss the NCAA tournament.
And then you look at, like, I just tell you, a team that Dan Hurley had a sub 500 year at UConn. I know. Again, this is old money looking at new money. Bill Self's had down years at Kansas. He ain't ever been 16-17. That isn't a thing.
You're right. So you're saying you don't look at UConn as one of you.
They're not one of us.
Is anybody one of you? Is Duke one of you? Is North Carolina? Is Kentucky one of you?
Duke and Kentucky are in the same class as Kansas.
And UConn, they're notch below?
They're a notch below.
Is there any other school that you would say then is on UConn's tier? Because I would say then the
North
only
Carolina.
Tier is Florida then.
North Carolina.
You don't think North Carolina's not on KU's tier?
No.
Okay.
Well, pull up their season by season.
No, I hear what
you're saying.
Tournaments. I just didn't know that. I didn't know that you as a KU fan, I didn't know you looked down at North Carolina basketball. I didn't. This is my first time ever hearing this before. You look down at them like they not like us.
They are in the same neighborhood, but they're not on the same block when it comes to wealth.
Okay, I just didn't know. I apologize. I learned so much about you.
And you know what? We kicked Indiana out of the neighborhood.
Oh, I mean, they haven't been in the neighborhood for a long time. You know what? They were UCLA. They got evicted a long time ago.
Get that riffraff out of my neighborhood.
Yeah. You know what? That spot that UCLA had, we gave it to Gonzaga. We just gave it to them. At least they're good every single year.
Syracuse fans pretended they were part of our little club, but no, they never have been.
That's crazy. I had no clue you felt this way about North Carolina. You don't think that North Carolina is on the same plane as Duke as Kansas?
No. The year they lost to Kansas in the title game, they were an 8 seed.
Okay.
They were a first 4 team last year.
So you think that
they actually shouldn't have made it last year, for being honest. They got in because of their brand.
So you think tier 1 is just Kansas, Duke, and Kentucky?
Yep, that's tier 1.
That's it.
Then North Carolina, UConn, I don't have to do it with Michigan State. They're not in tier 2.
Are you going to disrespect Florida like this? Cuz I don't know how you're going to disrespect Florida. We're now not showing Florida basketball love like they haven't won 3 championships in the last 25 years.
Florida's probably in the same tier as Michigan State. They have more titles, but it's a lot of hot and cold. Yes and no.
Okay. I mean, they won in 06, 07, and 25.
Villanova's on the Florida tier. That's a good example.
Okay. All right. I'm here asking. I mean, Florida's been to the Final Four 5 times in the last 25 years. How many times has KU been since 2000?
03, 02. KU's at 5 times as well?
Okay. I'm just...
That number might be wrong. 22, 18.
I mean, look it up. I don't know. I'm just here. I'm here to defend Florida. I'm here to defend SEC brethren.
It's 5.
Okay, so Florida has 5 Final Fours since 2000 and 3 national championships. But we can't. They're not on KU's level. We're looking down at them.
Make the tournament every year?
No, they had some. They've had some misses. They had a couple of misses.
They had some lean years.
Yeah, they had some misses. 2015 didn't make the tournament.
Billy Donovan was great. I think Todd Golden's great. There's some dry in the middle there.
Yeah, they also haven't won the SEC since 2014. It's crazy for Florida. But
well,
no,
part of that's nowadays with super conferences.
They haven't won, which is crazy because they won the championship last year. But no, they did not win the SEC last year. Coming up on the other side, I'll tell you guys about the team that I am 100% believing in. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with CDOT. Tune in as Nate Taylor of ESPN joins the show in studio every Friday at 4 on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. The Drive, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Someone on the text line says, CDOT, Florida is not on the same level as Duke or Kansas. No, I do not think that. I would have assumed that Rob would have had North Carolina in tier number one. He didn't have tier number one. I was just wondering where Florida went. I think tier number one is Duke, Kansas, Kentucky, and North Carolina. Rob thinks that North Carolina is not there. I also think the UConn has now emerged into tier number one. I do think Florida is in tier number two. I think Florida is in that tier number two with Villanova, Michigan State, and Gonzaga. That's where I think they are. I think Florida has been pretty clearly one of the 10 best college basketball programs over the last 25 years or so. So I would have put Florida in there. But no, I do not think that Florida is Duke or Kansas. I think Duke is one. You could probably have an argument between Kentucky or Kansas on who you would have as number two. But, I mean, right now we're splitting hairs. We're talking about the creme de la creme, the top shelf is what we're talking about when it comes to those programs. That's why I was very, very disappointed that Rob didn't show North Carolina a little bit more love during this. Rob's still a little mad they took their coach back in the day. I know you were hurt by that. I know a younger Rob Britton was hurt when Roy Williams left you. You were hurt.
Oh, 12-year-old Rob was devastated. After the first press conference, I'm staying the second time. Stupid Matt Doherty couldn't make it work.
You know what? The worst thing that Roy could have done was do that press conference at the end of losing in the Final Four. When they lost and then he said, I don't give a blank about North Carolina, that was the worst thing he could have done. He just shouldn't have said, I'm not speaking on that right now. Because then I feel like that soundbite is the one that's followed him the rest of the way.
Yeah, I don't give a flip about North Carolina. Yeah. Ugh. And it was 2 years earlier. He said, "I'm staying." And they had that big party.
I mean, he did stay. Then things changed.
I mean, it worked out fine for Kansas.
Yeah, for sure.
Bill Self has been.
Kansas is the only university that will hold a grudge, even though they
it worked out.
Kansas lost Roy Williams and then got better, which is just insane to think. Like, they lost Roy Williams, and it still just worked out for the best. Like, oh yeah, it's not that big of a deal. We'll just keep winning championships.
I'm trying to think if there's a school in sports that would hold a grudge despite all the success. Ohio State football would probably hold a grudge. If Ryan Day left for the league, they would feel a way, even if they went out and hired whoever.
Yeah, well, that's who you guys are. I just want to let you know that. We'll get back to Kansas coming up in just a little bit. Rob, I am drinking the Kool-Aid when it comes to the New England Patriots. I am drinking the Kool-Aid for a couple of different reasons. I would say, number one, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid because somebody has to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. And I don't think we can keep playing this game where you don't believe in anybody. Well, it's like, well, there's nobody left then. Like, somebody... It's not going to be two NFC teams playing in the Super Bowl. Someone has to represent the AFC. So then who do you think it can be? I also look at the Patriots, and the Patriots, says they check all of the boxes that I think you would need to check. I think Drake May is going to end up winning NFL MVP. I think he's going to win NFL MVP. So quarterback play, check. Now, you go into it with a major question mark about what that quarterback looks like in the postseason. But again, everybody has a major question mark heading into the postseason in the AFC playoffs this year. They run the football very, very effectively. They got a couple of very good running backs. They got good weapons. Their offensive line is much better. Their defense is good. They're well coached. Like, all of the things that I would like to have in a Super Bowl contending team, one of those kind of teams, and the Patriots just seem to have all of those things. I'm not here telling you that I think the Patriots are some massive juggernaut. We can also go through their schedule here, and it has definitely been incredibly soft. But we have seen this Patriots team step up when necessary and beat some of those teams when prompted. This team went on the road and beat Buffalo. This team went on the road and beat Tampa Bay. So I don't want to play that they haven't beaten anybody game. They certainly have. Now, they go on the road and they play the Ravens coming up in a couple of weeks, and they got a chance to 100% clinch their division coming up in a couple of weeks against the Buffalo Bills. We're also talking about that the Patriots are going to have a bye week heading into their most important game of the year, and that's a home game. I think there's a lot of things to like about this Patriots team. I think they're getting the one seed. I think they're going to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl.
I agree with you. I have a lot of belief in the Patriots, and I'd be curious to know why people don't believe in them.
Like, I think right now the only argument you can make is that their quarterback doesn't have any playoff experience, which is a good argument. Don't get me wrong.
Which, by the way, isn't this what we always do with young quarterbacks? I am not comparing Drake May to Patrick Mahomes. I don't want this to come off like, oh, I think they're the same. But Patrick Mahomes won the MVP and looked like the best quarterback in the league. He had never, in his first year as a starter, well, he had never won a postseason game. I don't remember people in Kansas City thinking, well, he can't do it because we've never seen it. Like, I know that seeing is believing, but Drake May is checking all the boxes. Why do we not believe that, not you, but people not believe that in the divisional round against the Chargers, he would do the same thing? It's just, I think people are looking for a reason to knock anyone locally other than the Chiefs. But the Patriots, they check every single box. Like, you're telling me that fan base gets postseason games again up at Gillette in New England with that coach and that quarterback? That's a problem for the AFC. Like, that's a real problem. Like, Daniel Jones has to eventually go to Gillette. I'm not picking Daniel Jones in that game. Bo Nix might have to go up to Foxborough. No chance I'm picking Bo Nix. Like, even Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, you think, okay, maybe they have the quarterback advantage, but now on the road with an equal coaching, maybe a coaching disadvantage with the Bills, it's hard for me to really nitpick the Patriots. Like, they seem like right now the class of the AFC.
This is the feeling that I get, text line, and tell me if I'm off. 913-586-7965. I feel like Chiefs Kingdom has sort of been trapped into this, you guys got to prove it to us mentality for the last 4 or 5 years. And for the most part, that has absolutely worked out for Chiefs fans. Hey, you got to prove it to us. You're telling us with Josh Allen that you're the hot new thing. You got to prove it to us. Lamar Jackson, like, we've had this conversation about plenty of guys. And for the most part, none of these individuals have proven it to you. I would say now we have a twofold problem. Number one, no one is making the Chiefs prove it to them right now. That the Chiefs in the past have proved it to them. Nobody is really holding the 2025 Chiefs to that same, you guys got to prove it to us, even though they haven't so far. I would also say, every knock that you have about Drake May at this point is the knock for basically all of the quarterbacks that would be in the postseason right now. Like, let's say that we stopped, and obviously we're not, but let's say that right now we took the top seven teams in the AFC. Drake May, Bo Nix, Trevor Lawrence, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, Daniel Jones, and Josh Allen. None of those quarterbacks have proven it to you in January that they can go to the Super Bowl, but one of those quarterbacks is going to go to the Super Bowl this year. If we don't think it's the Chiefs, and maybe some of you still think it's the Chiefs, perfectly fine, but if you don't think it's the Chiefs, then the odds are somebody is going to the Super Bowl for their first time, because that's all it is right now in the AFC. That's all it is. It's Kansas City, who's been there a million times. It's Cincinnati, who's been there one time 4 years ago. Feels like it was a distant memory. And then everybody else is going for the first time. So somebody is going to have the opportunity to prove it to you and break through and show you what they can do. Man, if you're asking me right now who seems like the most likely candidate out of all those individuals, man, it feels like it's Drake May. They just feel like they got the right combination of things. I would like this Chargers team, but they're not healthy enough. They're not healthy enough at quarterback right now. I like this Denver team. They're a good, tough, competitive team. Man, I just don't know how long you can keep dancing with the devil before you get your toes stepped on. And they've been dancing with the devil, it feels like, for 2 months. The Broncos have been doing that. I'm sorry, you can never convince me with Trevor Lawrence. I've seen way too much evidence, too much information. I'm not picking Jacksonville to go anywhere.
I think there are teams in the AFC where I think it's fair to have questions. I don't think the Patriots are one of those teams. And the Jags, to your point, are definitely one of those teams. And I think the Colts are probably one of those teams. The Texans have a chance to kind of squelch those whispers. I think the Texans right now are one of those teams. But, like, it feels like on December 2nd, the Patriots are the class of the AFC. I understand when this conversation happens, I get really tired, because it's just how the NFL works, of, well, the Patriots had an easy schedule. What if we changed their schedule and they played someone else? Like, but they didn't play those teams. That's just how it shakes out sometimes. Like, the Chiefs next year have a chance of playing a very easy schedule. Are we going to say, well, they're actually not good because they played an easy schedule? No, you can only play who's in front of you. So I understand why Chiefs fans jump to strength of schedule, but I hate when people are like, let's just flip schedules. That's a really, really dumb thing to me.
Yeah, and I guess at least with some of these teams, man, you just got to give them credit. Like, Kansas City lost to Philadelphia. The Broncos went on the road and beat Philadelphia. The Chiefs lost to the Dallas Cowboys. The Broncos beat the Dallas Cowboys. The Chiefs play the Texans this week. The Broncos went on the road and beat the Texans. That was actually the last team to beat Houston. So
the Chiefs lost at Buffalo. New England went up there and beat Buffalo.
Yeah, so at this point, just everybody's resume has a little bit of holes. You can kind of poke holes. You can kind of question every team in the National Football League. So that's why I say going into this, man, you just got to go with your gut and what feels right when it comes to these teams. Like, that's it. That's all you can really go off of. Because on a week-by-week basis, what do you know? You think that the Rams are the best team in the NFC. Next thing you know, they're getting pummeled by Carolina, and now you got to entertain the possibility that Carolina might win the NFC South. The more we think we know about the NFL, every Sunday we find out that we know absolutely nothing about this league. Matt Verderam coming up in 20 minutes. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
If you guys were looking to go to the Kansas game later today, I'm telling you right now that you can go for very, very cheap. Rob, how much do you think the cheapest ticket is to go to the Kansas game tonight against UConn, playing a top five team in college basketball at the crib?
This is a good question because I looked earlier after they announced Darren was out.
You want to know why you should have sold your tickets.
I'm going to say $45.
Right now, the cheapest ticket you can get to go to the KU game right now is $32. Now, you're going to be sitting right underneath Will Chamberlain, but you're going to be in the building for $32. So, yeah, if you want to go, now's a good time. Rob, they got Section 10, Row 19 for $33 apiece. Those are not bad seats. They're not great seats. Don't get me wrong. You can definitely sit better. But those are not bad seats, not at all, if you want to go to the game today and not watch it on television.
Those aren't bad at all for this game.
No, not at all.
If this was Princeton, you'd be like, I'm not.
Yeah, no, for sure. No, but no, for the KU game tonight, UConn at home. I always told you, those KU games during the week, you can always get into those for a decent price. Especially now with no Darren Peterson. Like, yeah, I'm not going to that game. A lot of people kind of have that opinion. Rob, I want to tell you, so I have I wouldn't say I've taken a break in my home buying, condo buying journey, but it's cold, it's the holidays, you know, and it's not a lot of moving and shaking right now. You know, it makes sense. But there is one that I really want to look at. It comes available on the 4th, so I kind of have that marked down as I like the location. I'm really excited to go look at it. I can't live in my current building anymore. Rob, I'm not joking to you. This is not an exaggeration. The fire alarm went off three separate times yesterday. Three separate times. I left here, got a little dinner, got a little barbecue, little gates, went home. Fire alarm goes off. Got to evacuate the building. All right. You know, I'll make sure. I'm looking at it. I ain't see anything burn. I was like, all right, so we go back inside. Fire alarm went off again, probably like an hour later. Walk back outside. I'm like, all right, hold on now. It's cold out here. We was outside a little longer that time. I was like, hold on here. I got to go back. And that third time, I just stayed in there, man. Hey, if this is the way the Lord wants me to leave, then it was my time. I had a good run, man. It was good. I felt the door with the back of my hand. I did all the things that my stepdad, who's a firefighter, did all the things he told me to do. I didn't feel like I was in imminent danger. I just stayed in there, man. I can't do it. I'm telling you, it's time. You know when it's time to walk away, and it's time. So everybody's like, oh, you don't want to rush into it. No, it's time to rush. I went off three times yesterday. Once was in the middle of the night. No, I can't do this no more. No, I can't do it anymore. It's time for me to go. I'm about to move in with you. You guys got an extra bedroom in there?
Are they pulled fire alarms? Or
I don't know what's going
cooking?
On. I don't want to know.
It's like three different times.
I'm just asking if there's room over there at your house is what I want to know.
I mean, you already say you don't want to live in Kansas.
I don't want to live in hell. That's where I'm living right now. That's where I don't want to live there. I don't have any interest in doing that. Coming up in about 5 minutes, we're going to be joined by Matt Verderay of Sports Illustrated. All right, I want to play this for you. This was Matt Tate. He was on the show. This was 2 weeks ago when Matt Tate was on the show. He said this about Darren Peterson.
And hope it heals up pretty quick and see what he looks like when he gets back and then move forward from there. But I don't think he's played his last game as a Jayhawk. I don't think that this is anything, you know, that's going to get crazy and spiral out of control. It certainly could. I've been wrong before, but I don't feel that right now.
Rob, right now, if I gave you, let's say that FanDuel gave you a $100 free play,
This time of year, they kind of are.
Yeah, I'm saying, no. Right now, they're giving money away over there on FanDuel. Shout out to FanDuel. They're giving money
you
away.
Say if. Have you been on the app recently?
No, they're not playing around. They're giving out crazy deals right now. What game would you bet that Darren Peterson comes back? So let me give you their next handful of games. We know he's not playing against UConn. They play Missouri coming up on Sunday. Yep. That game's at noon. So it actually works out really good for me. I can watch the game, and you know I don't live that far. I can still catch the end of red zone. Oh, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be great. At NC State, so at Will Wade.
That's the Saturday after Missouri.
That's the 13th. Yeah, okay. So yeah, the Saturday after. You know Will Wade. They cheat big time up there.
I don't think it's cheating anymore. I think that's just how.
Yeah, no, for real. Then they got Towson and Davidson, and then they start conference play. So they have five more games in the non-con. They really got three more games in the non-con, but you follow me. When do you think Darren Peterson comes back? If I gave you a free $100 if you get it right.
Missouri?
You think he's back on Sunday?
I think it's either Missouri or...
You've been telling me this for weeks now.
Yeah, I think it's Missouri.
You think Darren Peterson plays on Sunday?
I think Darren Peterson plays on Sunday.
Okay.
And if he doesn't play Sunday and I'm wrong and I lose the $300, then I think at that point you're looking at Towson Davidson. Like, if he ain't playing against Missouri, there's no point to rush him back for NC State.
Honestly, if that's the case, then I would tell Darren, if Darren Peterson cannot play this week, I would just tell him to sit out for another month and come back against UCF when conference play starts.
I would agree with that. I agree with Matt Tate. I think he is playing at Kansas this year.
I do think I agree with you. I do believe he will play.
I don't think he is resting as a quasi red shirt to protect his draft status. I don't believe that. I think he's playing college basketball this year. I think it's either Sunday or conference play. Because maybe I am falling for the same trap I fell for yesterday. It felt like they were gearing up to tell us he was back in UConn.
100%.
And now you're getting an extra 4 days to rest up for Missouri, and it's Missouri. Like, I know we can talk about, like, oh, the rivalry died for it. It's Missouri. It's a neutral site game. If he's ready to go, he should be playing on Sunday.
Do you think he'll be the first player to be booed by both sides?
If they show 100.
I'm telling you, I plan on booing him on Sunday. Are you guys going to boo him on Sunday? Because I'm telling you, our side is 100%. I can't wait to boo Darren Peterson on Sunday.
Absolutely
I can't wait
not.
To boo him.
If they show Hunter Dickinson in the crowd, though, that will be a moment where we lock arms.
We might actually have Hunter Dickinson come out. Like, hey, we might just, hey, you know, yeah, no, I'm with you.
He got booed at late night. I mean,
Hunter Dickinson might be the one player equally hated by both sides. Missouri doesn't like him, and KU doesn't seem to like him.
Is there a fan base that likes him? Like, I'd like to meet the fan base. Like, you know who we like is Hunter Dickinson. There's no way Michigan liked
him. The Pelicans don't even seem to like Hunter Dickinson. So the reason why a lot of people were optimistic, this was the update that Bill Self gave yesterday about Darren Peterson.
He has practiced, and he's gone up and down. The hesitancy I have is that before we'll announce anything is he has to test out medically from a strength and flexibility standpoint, and we'll know that in the morning. Still no answer, but we'll be able to say something definitively in the morning.
If he's able to play, like, is there any thought in your mind of starting, not starting? Does that matter to you?
Doesn't matter, but if he plays, he's starting.
I know you guys are ready for it. I'm ready for it too. I want to see Darren Peterson on the court. I want to see him on the floor. More specifically, I would like for Darren Peterson to play Sunday against Missouri at Sprint Center. I think that's what we've all been waiting for. I want everybody to be there. I want everybody on Missouri to be there. I want everybody on Kansas to be there. I want to see these two teams. I mean, this is the first time they played a neutral site game. It had to be since Big 12, Big 8 tournament.
Do you count the Hurricane game?
No, it doesn't count. Okay. I'm talking about a game that actually counts on the records.
It's got to be a Big 12 tournament.
Like, I would love to see the last time that these two teams played a game on a neutral site. I mean, it has been a significantly long time. I know some of you just haven't kind of been to games like this. I have, because I've been to the bragging rights. Like, the split that it is going to be a pure 50-50 kind of result, especially, and you know this, like, the buzz that the building is going to have if Darren agrees to play or can play or whatever term you want to use in that, it's going to just put the game through the roof. It already is, especially because Missouri won the game last year. I kind of think they can beat them again this year. But if Darren ends up signing up, just the energy, the buzz in the building, it's going to be incredible. So really looking forward to the matchup between those two teams coming up on Sunday. But we got a lot of time to talk about that. Coming up on the other side, Matt Verderam, Sports Illustrated. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.